We're rolling.
This is the Finance and Administration Committee meeting, and all council members are present. We have the discussion from Unity Care Northwest, and I'll take that.
So I'm Desmond Scooby, Executive Director of Unity Care Northwest, and this is Chris Cobdish, who's our Director of Planning and Development. Many of you may know us as Interfaith Community Health Center, which we were for 32 years. We just recently changed our name to Unity Care Northwest. And just a little bit of background, we are what is called a federally qualified health center, which has as its distinguishing characteristics the fact that we're a nonprofit corporation. We are governed by a board of directors that has a majority of its members, people who use our services, and so we're really a consumer-governed organization. We provide services regardless of the ability to pay, so all of our services have a sliding fee scale attached that discounts our services according to household size and income to try to make sure that they're affordable. And we provide primary medical, dental, behavioral health, and pharmacy services. Our purpose is to increase the years of healthy life in the communities and people that we serve. So probably a number of you, maybe all of you, are familiar with the fact that we have a small clinic and have had that since 2007 down on 3rd Avenue. We've outgrown it. We actually outgrew it a while ago. And we took on additional space in the Pioneer Center across the street and established behavioral health services in that location, as well as some other ancillary services. We are in the process of expanding and relocating that clinic, and we purchased property out at 6060 Portal Way to do that. We've hired RMC Architects of Bellingham to design that clinic. The design process is well advanced. We are in discussions with your planning department about the permitting processes and making sure that we're compatible with City of Ferndale requirements. We expect to break ground on that project in the summer of 2017 and to have it open in the summer of 2018. I believe it'll be the largest clinic outside of Bellingham in Whatcom County when we're done. It'll be 23,500 square feet. It's about a $12 million project altogether. It will serve ultimately about 9,500 unique individuals and provide about 48,000 patient visits when it is fully occupied and up and running. It'll provide about 64 full-time equivalent positions at a mean salary of about $60,000 a year, which is much higher than the mean salary in Whatcom County as a whole. So these will be really high-quality jobs in Ferndale. So we sort of wanted to let you know about what our plans are. We really welcome your feedback, your thoughts about what best serves the community. And Chris might like to talk a little bit about some of the ways that we'd really like to gather community input into our own planning process to make sure that this is really reflects what the community needs.
Where is 6060 Portal Way? Is there, what's around it now, so we might get some context?
The farm store, the...
Oh, okay.
Across the street?
No, it's right on the same side. Yes.
South of it?
Just past it, going
before
north?
Before it.
Portal Way Garden Center.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
the Garden
okay.
Center, before the Garden Center.
Before the Garden Center.
Ta-da!
Now he pulled it up, look at you!
So, basically...
There it is.
Right.
Right there. There.
Okay.
Is there any existing structures there?
There are. Let's see, where are we? I'm trying to.
There we are, right there. See, so I think it's that grassy.
Yes, so there are. Okay. This was part of what was conceived of as a much larger development, and there are two small condominiumized business suites here. There's actually, I think, a total of about 12,000 foot business condominium suites that are right here. They were going to repeat that over here. We've purchased all of this property.
Oh, okay.
This is an established wetlands mitigation area. So to deal with stormwater, we have all pervious pavement and rain gardens, and then the wetlands mitigation area where everything drains towards. So it's kind of an interesting effort to adapt to the environment there. So when this is done, we'll have five full-time medical providers, probably six full-time dentists, probably about 3 to 4 hygienists. We'll have psychiatric services available, counseling services, and a pharmacy, as well as a lab, all within this facility. And I think this will be by far the most comprehensive behavioral health services outside of the city of Bellingham. Our goal is to integrate and make a coherent web of services for medical, dental, behavioral health, and pharmacy. And that's one of the things that makes us a fairly unique provider within Whatcom County, as well as the fact, again, that we have a sliding fee scale and we're really dedicated to trying to make those services available to everyone.
Do you have a lab or testing facilities?
Yes.
Like x-rays and?
No x-ray.
No
x-ray. No. X-ray is a really specialized function these days and isn't really a part of primary care in most locations.
What hours of operation would you be having?
So let me use as our comp, our main clinic in Bellingham, which is open Monday through Saturday. During the weekday, it's open from 8 until 6 p.m. And on Saturday, it's roughly 8 until 5 p.m. So we tend to be open 6 days a week.
Okay. Same with the pharmacy.
Yes.
And so what we're doing right now is just sharing our vision with the community. I've met with the Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to be, we'll be giving a presentation to the Resource Center, talking to the Senior Center. We've talked to WTA about, you know, transportation there, and as they're in their planning phases right now. We foresee, what do we think, 200 and how many people a day accessing the facility?
Yeah, that's probably a good estimate.
200 plus people.
When it's fully developed.
Mm-hmm. The WTA would add a bus stop, because I know they're talking about expanding Portaway. The services there, is there a bus stop nearby?
There is nearby, and what they said is that it would probably be very easy for them to relocate it.
That's what I was thinking. You know, yeah. Something with like some kind of overhang.
With a bus, like a shelter.
Wait, you'll build this all at once, or you're going to build
all
it in phases?
All at once.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I had a quick question. We're trying to find a new home for our resource center. You're going to go meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't need that much space, and they basically, it's the same clientele. Is that something that we could talk about in the future, having like one little office space that would be the resource center?
This is the case of, you know, where's the chicken and the egg? Because the space that we are able to build is all designated currently from the get-go. So there's nothing that won't be built out and envisioned for use. All of it won't be in use on day one, but by year 4, after it opens, it will be. Yes, it'll all be claimed. There are people, constituencies that say, nope, don't give away my space.
Sure.
I think one of the possibilities that might be something to think about is in those condominiumized business suites, there are available suites. They're about 1,000 square feet.
Ooh.
At least in the past, they've been pretty inexpensive because they were in bankruptcy proceedings. And we've seen that as a place in which potentially we could attract other complementary services. That would create a really nice web of services.
So they're like an Opportunity Council satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We talked with Opportunity Council mm-hmm. about doing something with Resource Center. And so for everyone in the northwest part of the county, if they only had to come to Ferndale to mm-hmm. get what Opportunity Council had.
Yeah, right on the bus line here.
It'd be great.
Yes, because currently we have about 2,000 of our patients in Bellingham are from North Whatcom County.
Hmm.
And we are pretty much at capacity here, busting at the seams, quite frankly. And so by building it's a similar sized facility here, hopefully we'd be able to direct many of those 2,000 people to the facility in North Whatcom County and then be able to expand upon who we are serving right now.
Because Opportunity Council knows they need something out here. They mm-hmm. just haven't had the money to do it, but maybe there's a way to,
mm-hmm.
now there's going to be a facility right next door, that would make more sense. And then our resource center could partner with Opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And so again, I think that'd be great. We work a lot with the Opportunity mm-hmm. Council and we certainly share a lot of clients. There are empty suites right here, which would be right next door. So I think that's a great potential mm-hmm. location for that.
And our their caseworkers work with our behavioral health folks, so you know it could be a really nice wraparound complex there.
Are you leasing the Third Avenue property?
No, we lease it.
So are you going to sell the Third Avenue building? Because you own that building.
No, we don't. We lease it.
Okay. So that building will be empty at some point.
Yes. It'll be available for future
resource for the Northwest County and certain firm. This is
absolutely
great stuff.
And we are talking with the county council so that they can be a sponsor us, or what's the official term?
They would actually apply on our behalf for up to $1 million in community development block grant funds. So again, this is about a $12 million project, and we need to raise between, our goal is to get something called New Market Tax Credits, which may contribute up to $2 million towards this, to raise between $2 and $4 million. We may use some of our limited reserves as well, and then we're looking for bank financing for about half the cost.
A numbers cruncher, you're at north of $500 a foot, so this is a highly specialized building.
It is.
And this is including equipment and all
that's
that.
Right. All the architectural planning permitting.
I couldn't build a building for $500 a foot in the city. Yeah. So we don't have that kind of money, but that's
But that's, again, that's all in equipment.
Oh, it's everything. Sure. It's your dental equipment, all of that.
Great.
Wow. Excellent.
And what we like about this is a part of the city that needs development. And some of our newest housing is going up there off of Portal Way, and some of our new businesses. And
great freeway access. Yeah,
and you've discovered affordable property, I guess, and this is fabulous.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, and you may be aware of this, there's an easement across this property back to Lot C, which is actually a gorgeous piece of property.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have bought that piece of property as well. But we are in discussions with the current owner of that about a fairly major development of multi-family dwelling space back in that area.
There was a plan maybe
Tittering.
8-10 years ago. It was gorgeous, but he was going to do that.
On the river there.
That is nice.
Do you mean a development that Interfaith would do, like transitional housing? Or?
No, that was my vision, and somebody else snatched it up before we could purchase it. We wouldn't have developed that, but we would have loved to have collaborated with others for a housing project. Yes.
But interesting guy, but he came in to Woods with a spectacular drawings of something on the river there. So
we need more transitional housing in Ferndale for our homeless.
And part of what we would really enjoy the city to be thinking about is, this will be a beautiful facility. It will be a very nice one. And we'd really love for you to think about how you can pull the wonderful improvements that you made around the Portal Way roundabout and the green space leading into downtown, and how we could extend that out into this area.
Absolutely.
And make sure that we don't build things in that area that are going to detract from it. And I think there are some examples of things that are detracting from the area out there right now. So I just encourage you to be thoughtful about that, because I think others will make major investments there as well. But if you torpedo it,
I think detract. Go ahead.
Well, I think there's a retail marijuana shop out there right now. I think its signage, I'm concerned, violates the city's regulations. At least the ones that I've been shared with, the sign appears to be very much out of what's allowed. And that isn't, as an organization, so many of the people that we work with have substance abuse issues. It's not what we like being associated with as our close neighbors.
Customers.
Did you buy the property before the marijuana shop?
No. I think they were in construction right around the time we closed on the property. So I have no issues actually with them doing business there. I think it's the signage that
we'll check on that. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll make a call today. I didn't notice.
We're very excited to it's going to be a wonderful project, and we want Portal Way to pop, and the nicer things that you start putting there once we get the sidewalks all put in.
Yes. Well, and I think again, you've done a beautiful job on everything leading up to that space, and if we can figure out how to extend that, I think it'd just be wonderful.
Yeah. Greg, do you want to tell them about the mini roundabout?
To give a little context, there's a chance that we might get a large retailer downtown.
I've heard something about that.
If we do that, we'll be building a large roundabout in front of Hagen. Well, some of the concern that the council had, which is excellent, is, well, how are we going to, how's everyone gonna shuttle themselves in and out of town? Because we can't close the so what we're talking, so they wanted to know if there were some safety valves, if you will, for traffic. And with us building the roundabout, and you, as you know, people can get out of, in and out of town here. But the so getting out of town, not using Main Street and the and the roundabout at, in front of Hagen won't be so much of an issue. Getting home at night might be more of an issue. And particularly they've been concerned about the off-ramp here from I-5, because right now, in the evening time, not that it matters to you, but it's interesting that traffic, humans are creatures of habit. People tend to go to work somewhere between 7 and 9 o'clock. People tend to leave work at 5 o'clock. And so when we measure our traffic, we want to measure it at the worst possible time. So that's why we pick what's called PM peak, for 4 to 6 p.m. Because you don't have, you know, a 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock evening commute. You've got that really concentrated one. Anyway, so right now we have some issues because it's people trying to take that left turn. So we're talking with DOT right now, Department of Transportation, about the idea of putting in a what's called a compact roundabout. It would not be something as elaborate as this now. It'd be something, you know, like the small little roundabouts at Slater. Same idea here. And our preliminary discussions with DOT, they believe that it would fit. So I'm continuing my conversations with them. And if that is the case, we plan on building that compact roundabout this year, next year, sometime rather soon. So anyway, that's just a long way of saying that we are starting to, and we do want to put a little love into this area of the city, because you're right, this is where a lot of the development is coming, but it is somewhat disjointed right now. We have a gentleman who lives out here who, bless his heart, he decries the lack of sidewalks all the time, and he's right.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Children.
So in this case, I don't think there's a.
And that small roundabout would be approximately $100,000, like the.
About $100,000, maybe even less than that, depending on just how much they have. So that's something, if DOT is willing to build it, we're willing to pay for it. So that's something that would be going in rather soon. So it'll be a small but an incremental improvement.
Yeah.
Right. We've also talked about, and you know, right over here, there's the sign that says "We Welcome to Ferndale," and there's some thoughts about wanting to improve that visually. So
we're doing some portaway work this year, isn't it? Wasn't Public Works going to do some portaway work? We got some money to improve the surface, and I thought we were going to try and add a little more sidewalk or something.
Yeah, at the very least, what we want to do is we're trying to figure out exactly where the kids, or for that matter, anyone walks to and from. And maybe even put down just some gravel, just to get them out of the mud when it rains. But we'll be doing more and more work out there. But your type of developments are those leapfrog developments where you come in and other people come in. Because healthcare drives communities.
It does. And to let you know, we serve a lot of children, particularly with our dental program. And so there will be a, and I know that they do currently walk from school to the facility now, which will change a little bit when we're there. And we'll have to talk about that. But there will be more children going out there.
Well, I just had to pretend I was a traffic engineer and predict the number of trips to between 4 and 6 o'clock. And I presume that was for your needs.
Exactly. So. Because that drives the, like everything else in this world, the money. The more trips, the bigger the impact.
So it was sort of interesting for me to hear your discussion and realize the cascading consequences of decisions.
So. The timing for this?
So we hope to break ground summer of 2017, open it summer of 2018.
And we'll be happy to help brag about that as we do whenever there's a new business coming in.
That's great.
Yes, we will be. And so right now we're starting that. We are looking for grant opportunities. We're trying to build some community support. We will hopefully have some community forums where we'll talk about this. Bobby Verta, who's a pastor at United Church of Ferndale, used to be the board chair of Interfaith Coalition, which we came out of, and so she's willing to open up her church for community meetings, and we'd like to invite you or whoever else we can to go to those. And I think the end of the month we're meeting with the Resource Center. So in the next couple months, we'll be designing an opportunity for community members to help us build the facility, talking to partners such as Phillips 66 and seeing what we could do.
Sure. I know the when we get the library building on the Watkin Community Foundation, we're involved in their fundraising. I know they get a little chunk.
And we'll be talking to them, so yes.
I'm speaking for the council here, but I would assume that should you need the city's name as a supporter on any CDBG applications or other things like that,
Wonderful.
I'm excited about this because there are two things that drive the future health of cities. It's education, higher education particularly, and healthcare. And when you start building a community around healthcare and around higher education, you're talking about, you know, not a good city, a great city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and you asked about X-ray. You know, I do think it's really interesting to think about, is there an alliance between Family Care Network, us, and perhaps any other providers out here to attract Radiology Northwest to opening a facility? But that now imaging is becoming such a specialized service that the kinds of things that used to be done in your local doctor's office are now happening in a much more specialized facility. But we may be gaining the kind of foundation there that makes that possible too.
For the whole Northwest County. So if you live in Custer, you wouldn't have to drive all the way to Bellingham.
That's our goal.
If you lived in Birch Bay, you could just pop over here.
Yes.
Exactly.
This is
cool. It'd be wonderful for Port Away, because that's what we want in Port Away.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Keep me updated on any events you throw here.
Yes. And I'll take the extra so you don't have to deal with it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Very nice.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Good luck.
We will.
As long as it doesn't involve a check.
We'll be in touch shortly with community events, and we'll start planning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool.
All right.
Okay. Next up is your ordinance, your resolution.
Sure. Next up is the resolution recognizing the number of petty cash funds the city has and where it's located. We've added two new employees here recently, one at the police station, so their third support person, so they needed their own cash drawer. And we've added our utility billing clerk here, so another cash drawer. Plus, we've had a change in the check signers. We will have a change in the check signers at the court. One person has, I think, announced retirement. So we've got two job openings right now. So this just recognizes, the auditors like us to do this whenever we have a change. Hopefully the spreadsheet's attached. Yes, here it is. So it just lists all of our checking account, savings account, who the custodian is, who the check signers are, that sort of thing. And the next attachment, it shows all the cash funds throughout the city. Not a whole lot of money, but where they're located. And at the very bottom is a grand total, $1,800 for the cash. So this is kind of routine. Staff recommends approval and the consent agenda.
I'll move that we put this on the consent agenda.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution passed.
Budget.
Typically, we do a monthly budget amendment if we need one, and there are months when we don't need one. This is a month that we need to recognize council action plus some other things, so we can go to the spreadsheet, blow past the ordinance, and there we go. We recognize that y'all approved a resolution last time for an inter-fund loan for the Star Park. That's money up front. We can purchase the equipment, that sort of thing. When the grant money comes back from the state, we then repay the inter-fund loan to the general fund. So that's this 200 grand general fund transaction. A 12 grand transfer to the Pioneer Pavilion Operations, City Pioneer Pavilion Community Center. We just had to pay over 5 grand for roof repair. The fund needs a little help from the general fund. We did a transfer last year to establish that fund, put some cash in it. It's a separate fund number 007. We won't use the whole 12 grand unless we need it. It comes out of the general fund in the Pioneer Pavilion And, you know, someday we hope that, that the rent revenue is enough to cover costs, but there's some significant monthly costs, all the utilities, the locking system at the doors, the alarm system, the fiber optic. So we have monthly expenses ongoing, not only, like I said, utilities, but repairs. And we've got it.
Do you know what those expenses are offhand?
Say what?
Do you know what the round, what those expenses are each month to run that?
Well, we budgeted 16.8 for the year. That might be a little high. They're between, I think, $200 and $300, $400 a month. Okay. That ain't cheap. So that's that one. Recommend approval. And here we're recognizing the council action on the hotel motel fund, $52,500 authorized expenditures. You approved that in February. And then the Star Park, here's the other half of that $200,000 interfund loan to the general fund. So that's it. Staff recommends approval on consent. Questions?
Did we already put the money, last time council, we voted to put the money in the reserve already, right? To move it into, so this is something separate.
I'll hit you with that next month.
Okay.
Oh, well, recognize the budget amendment that was approved. Yeah.
Thank you.
What's the balance of the LTAC money?
After we appropriate this, looks like 17,000.
It's predicted to be 17,000 at the end of the year. Now, we do want to do one more thing, and that is cover the park tour guides
and that
out of this fund.
And that application's coming in for 8,000, and we've opened it up for another round of applications and have gotten zero so far. But
even from...
Nothing yet.
Old settlers.
Old settlers said they're working on it and they're going to send something over. So I was going to pester him at the beginning of next week and be like, well.
The Frendel Public Market will have theirs in by the 29th.
I know you guys are good for it. But, so.
We just paid a couple of items here in March that were really authorized last year.
From last year, yeah.
Couldn't pay it until March because we didn't have any budget authorization until March.
It wasn't, is it? Was Farmer's Market also didn't get a?
I think we made two payments in March, and you'll see those next time.
And are they?
We are working on it right now. It'll be in by the 29th.
Okay, that's the deadline.
That's the deadline.
Yes.
Okay.
So
29th.
Any movement on the additional? There was a second potential hotel motel. Tax.
I sent out, so I finally got them to say, well, if you send me something in the mail, I might sign it and send it back. So I sent out letters to everybody.
Super 8
this was
Orca?
No, this was Motel 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know the owners are in Canada and they're only here every once in a while.
And so it's the Motel 6, the hotel. Motel 6, the Hotel 8? No, Super 8.
Super 8, Motel 6.
And then
the RV park.
Yes.
Okay.
Cedars
RV.
Two of the three.
Exactly. So I sent it out to all of them. There's also somebody who runs a bed and breakfast in town. We might be able to get them. So
does that count?
It could.
They had very little revenue, but here's this new name that popped up. Who's this?
Okay. And what about the Orca Inn? I mean, when did they come online?
It won't count for the purposes of LTAC because it's an extended stay facility. And then it's...
Yeah, if they stay more than 30 days, you don't have to pay hotel tax.
So...
Right, but...
they don't have day rates.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have day rates?
So they don't...
Like
a stay 2 weeks. They're not on our radar.
They're not
at all.
Can't count them. Can't use them. So, but I sent out letters. So hopefully we'll get some of that back. And I'm going to do a round of phone calls next week to kind of. So you got my letter? Did you sign it? I gave you a little envelope with a stamp on it. So
very good.
Would it help if I sent something to them?
You know what? I'm going to try
for my alter ego.
If
don't know how it could hurt.
It can't hurt.
Unless you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, yeah, it would be nicely worded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
okay.
We'll talk. We'll keep this in the loop. Yeah, it's something I want to make happen, but you know, they've got other priorities.
There might be some pushback.
I understand. You know, that increases the cost for them. Yeah. And so, you know, the supply and demand changes a little bit, but it's kind of hidden. You don't know it's there until you've actually committed to renting a room. I can understand a little bit of their
attitude. I don't think they're thinking about it that much.
I don't think so.
I think they're like, whatever.
Room rate, whatever, plus taxes. So yeah. Who cares?
$2 a night. So it's pretty inconsequential.
Yeah. Just a little thing.
Okay. I move this be placed on consent agenda.
I'll second.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. And
one more biannual budgeting.
Carol, you weren't here. We talked about it before, whether to switch to 2-year budget cycle. A lot of cities are switching to 2-year. It saves a little bit of time, but it's more of a way of strategically thinking in 2-year chunks rather than 1-year chunks. And you can only do it before the beginning of an odd year. So if we don't do it this year, we could revisit it, but we couldn't do it till 2018. So we'd have to be, if we're going to do it 2-year, we have to decide by June 1st for 17 and 18. And if we don't do it, we'd have to wait till 2018 to do 19 and 20.
So what's the consensus of everybody?
I think people were still trying to think. I would like to do it just from a strategic standpoint of thinking in 2-year increments, and then you're kind of in sync with the state's 2-year budgets as well. I think for some of the newer people who hadn't been through a budget cycle, they weren't sure how much, whether it's going to be saving a whole lot of effort. For me, it's not as much the effort saved, although it does save some effort because you only do it, the big thing, once every 2 years. Yeah. But I think for me, it's more thinking in 2-year increments rather than 1-year increments.
Then I'm still at that point where I'm still trying to figure out, to wrap my head around, you know, how this helps strategic planning. And I mean, everything that I see so far looks like, you know, the city already does a substantial amount of strategic planning looking, you know, many years out, and so I'm still mulling over the benefits versus the cost of disrupting the process as it stands now. But
Greg, did you get any emails from, because you're going to try and reach out to some of the cities that had done it. Did anybody reply?
Not really. What I heard was there were some software concerns. They said make sure your software system can support it, and
because our software doesn't.
It doesn't. Mark would have to do kind of some separate Excel spreadsheets to make it work. But they said that they actually, I was talking to, I forget what city, but they actually staffed up. They actually added staff people. Because even if you do a 2-year budget, you still have to review the budget every year. So you set your 2-year budget at the end of the first year, you then look at that and consider revisions to the second year. So it's not like you do 2 years and you forget about it for 2 years.
Right.
So there still is some annual work, but you kind of trim around the edges. They verified that what we've kind of read and heard is that where some of the multi-year budgeting has a positive effect is for your capital projects that span over a number of years. So instead of saying we have a project that's going to take 3 years, but we're only going to look at the first year's expenditures, you actually can see how the expenditures roll in over time, and you might do phases. The corollary to that is, you know, Mark, as you're aware, does a 6-year look ahead. So especially in our utility funds, you look there, you can see our capital projects stretching out over a 6-year time period and the effect on the fund balance and revenues and rates and things like that. So staff, I guess, is ambivalent to the idea. We feel like we do multi-year budgeting, or at least projections now. I do appreciate the new folks that, I think, Greg, you might have brought this up, that you've not gone through a budget yet, so it's hard for you to opine on whether that process we currently use could be better.
Right.
So whether we want to wait, but unfortunately it's 2 years, to do it then, or conversely, whether you're comfortable to wait 2 years because you're comfortable with the multi-year look ahead that Mark does now. So
I'll just weigh in. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I did come with the staff yesterday, and Greg, I think Greg's being very, very polite. And I know that the staff will do whatever this council wants.
Strange.
But I think the staff prefers not to be honest. that was the tone and message I got from staff yesterday. It's, they'll do whatever you want, and they'll do a great job doing it. That maybe perhaps when the city is larger and got more moving parts, it makes more sense, but I feel like it's maybe my job to sort of speak up, saying
they prefer. Well, if people aren't comfortable, that's fine. I just, it's something I would like to see us do eventually, but if people aren't ready sure. for it, then we just, we'll wait a couple of years and whoever's here can decide what they want to do, if they want to do it.
Yeah, I just, I need a little more information from
you. And I was thinking, let's say we go through a budget cycle and you guys go, you know, maybe 2 years, we could do it next year, but it wouldn't be an official
right.
biennium budget. I mean, we could do a 10-year budget. Nothing stops us from doing it. So maybe we could do it without officially doing it.
Just kind of a practice run.
Yeah, I think for this year,
it's so hard with the comprehensive plan mm-hmm. and so much other stuff that staff has going on. I can see them thinking, I can't think 2 years out this year because I have too much to finish yeah. this year.
Yeah. Well, Mark provides us with
years.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the big tripping point for me is, I mean, it seems like we already do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so we just don't have it formalized.
And you probably, because you, of course, never been a council member anywhere else, you have no yeah. reason to know this. It's unusual for a size of our yeah. town to do the kind of forward-looking budgeting that Mark does. I don't know of another city our size that does it as well, or for that matter, for as far into the future.
Yeah.
Not that it can't be better, but I guess right now I'm fluffing all up.
You're being very nice today. Don't hurt yourself.
I'm drinking tea.
Is that what it is?
Coffee tea.
So we want to table it now?
I don't think council wants to do it this year, so why don't we just, you know.
We'll keep it in our back pocket.
Revisit it again.
It's on our radar now.
Run across stuff, I'll write you up.
We'll go at AWC and we'll. Because there was, when I took the budgeting workshop,
that 3-day budgeting workshop, they talk about it there. So, yeah. you know, in the next few years, as you guys get more experience, yeah. you can think yeah. about what you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal.
I think we're good shape financially.
Anybody else have anything for this committee?
Just kind of on your radar, this has to do with budgeting. We're going to be probably bringing you a budget amendment having to do with the automated lock system for the police department.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of doors up there, and of course security is pretty big for them too. The system that they, because they do have a system where you either push a button in or you do something. The system we put in 5 years ago when we built the station, it was a proprietary, that is, it wasn't a brand name. It was, you know, Greg Young Lock Company. Well, Greg didn't know what he was doing. He's out of business. So the company that put together the lock system, the software and the hardware, does not exist anymore. And the system is beginning to fail. So what we need to do...
Can we play the prices right? Let's let them guess when it's going to be. We've probably let the cat out of the bag.
100,000?
No. Lower.
I was going to say 50.
Lower.
Oh,
you're in the realm.
That's a bargain.
48.
Lower.
25.
More.
44.
It'll be probably, with tax, it'll probably be closer to 40,000. Right around in there.
How much was the original system?
It was folded into the whole bin.
Oh, okay,
so I don't know. Yeah. But the.
But so we'll have the same system,
it'll be the
so
same.
Which,
we'll
what did we pay, like 12? For, what was our 20?
And all of our cards could be, so they could add, say, the Ferndale EOC onto one account.
So staff can finally get in there.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, if they get permission, I'm sure they're going to give all those permissions out.
The chief likes me.
Okay.
I don't know about the rest of you, Gil.
Yeah.
So we'll be bringing it back.
And that's with a long-standing.
He says I have a Jimmy Olsen vibe about you.
Software. Yeah, it's a brand name. Big name brand.
The software, before we do all this, are we happy with this system? Is the software working? Is Tony happy with it?
Yeah, we actually had a real life situation to test it. What was it? Maybe 3 weeks ago, whatever, when the power went out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These have batteries backup.
Okay.
But it turns out that something going back to our server
Yeah, the server was down.
The server was down.
So
they couldn't query the server. Yet.
Right.
Yes. That's been all been fixed.
Is the server now on a backup? Is that?
Yeah, what we do is we have it run through Security Solutions server as well as ours.
Right.
So if power's out to the whole region, we're still in trouble. But in that case, at least we have another bit of redundancy.
But are the servers not covered? Because the police station has backup power. Are the servers not on that circuit?
We don't have a generator for this building.
But I thought the servers were in the police department. In the
Yes, they are, actually. Are they?
Yeah,
they are. I don't have the answer to that question.
Because that whole building pops right onto emergency power, so there's no reason our servers shouldn't have.
Right. Unless it was a communication program.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's IT, so it's magic. So it'll be a brand name. We like the system. They like the system. So we'll be bringing that forward here probably next.
Because the police department
committee.
Is broken. Some of the doors don't.
Oh, yeah.
They need it. There's no doubt.
Really?
Yeah. And it bothers them.
I am not liking that at all.
All their pencils are chewed up.
Tape on that.
Anything else?
Just had one.
I
shared this at the first committee. Some of you might have missed it. Last council last year authorized purchase of almost $500,000 of heavy equipment for public works, $473,000 in total. And we went through the state's local program, which is a capital lease program. The state issues bonds twice a year. These are federal tax exempt bonds on the interest. So they did their issue in March. We did very well. I had predicted for the 10-year financing for most of the heavy equipment an interest rate of 2.5%. That came in at 2.1, which is goodness. Lower debt service for the affected funds. And the smaller equipment, the 5-year financing, I predicted 1.5% interest. It came in 1.1 or 1.2. So it was a very low interest bond sale, so we're happy about that. And we did purchase our first item, and we paid for that in March, an interfund loan, so we'll get it all reimbursed from this state as we go. Hopefully we'll spend all that money this year.
Good news.
Good, thanks.
Unless you're buying bonds.
Yeah.
1.1.
Grandma's.
You're grateful to get 1.1%.
Yeah.
That's true.
Tax exempt, baby.
Yeah.
Like a mini bond.
Now's the time to build a new city hall.
Yeah.
I think we are adjourned.
Yeah.